confession. The Christmas talk, the Christmas sermon, is the hardest of all talks and sermons, which is probably why the elders of this church ship this slot out every single year to a guest, because it is really hard, and I'll explain why. Did you know the very first recorded Christmas celebration took place in Rome in AD 336, which is very interesting. It means that we've had 1,700 years of people talking about this Christmas story that we've been listening to today. 1,700 years of people talking about it in some way, shape, or form. 1,700 years. And this, in the UK alone this year, there will probably be approximately between 300 to 400 Christmas talks and sermons. And let me do a quick survey. Put your hand up if you are probably going to go to more than one Christmas carol service or some Christmas service this year, more than one. That's quite a lot of you. You're making my job so much harder, because there is nothing new I can say about this story. There is nothing fresh I can say. So I am left with no recourse but to talk about something very, very old, or more specifically, a very old question. The story we've been listening to today, the story of the first Christmas. What is it really all about? And immediately, every single one of you went, duh, Jesus. And you'd be right. Jesus is the reason for the season, as I've heard it so eloquently put. But why? Why have we commemorated this birth here at this time of year? Why do we do that every single year? What is the reason? That's a bit more of a layered question. That's a bit more interesting. So I'm going to peel back one layer and talk about history. In our calendar, we have all sorts of days set aside to commemorate important historical events, important historical people, like Armistice Day, Guy Fawkes Night, all that kind of stuff. Christmas is no different. We are commemorating an historical event here today. At this time of year, we are commemorating the historical birth of this man, Jesus. It is historical because Jesus was historical. We know this. There'll be some people who like to claim that he isn't, but most serious scholars believe that Jesus was a real person. And this is not just because of these wonderful stories we've been listening to here today, but also because a lot of non-Christian sources from the ancient world, like Jewish historians like Josephus, like Roman historians like Tacitus, a chap called Philo, who went on to invent that pastry we all really like. They all wrote about this man, Jesus, who was crucified by the Romans and whose followers called him the Christ, things of that nature. So we know Jesus was real. And so his birth must have been a real event, hence why we celebrate it. But of course, all those days that we set aside to commemorate events are all for things that are historically significant, things that have made a difference. So what difference has this man, Jesus, made? Well, let's carry on thinking about history for a moment. I cannot overstate this point. No one in history has affected our world more than this man Jesus has. No one. Let me tell you what I mean. This man was born 2,000 years ago, roughly. He lived in an age without social media, YouTube, any of that stuff, any real media at all, to be honest. He was a first century Jewish peasant from a very rural area of what is now Palestine. His ministry only lasted for about 3 years in total. And during that time, as far as we know, he barely traveled more than a few hundred miles outside of his hometown. And yet today, there are roughly 2 billion people on this planet who call themselves Christian. Now, without question, there'll be some who are doing that nominally. They're Christian because it's part of their cultural heritage. But there are still people who have chosen to tie their identity to this man, to this little baby boy whose birth we've been thinking about this morning. And that's not even mentioning the billions of Muslims across the world who revere him as a great prophet. We're talking about half the world's population today who have had their lives directly impacted by the birth of this baby boy. This is someone for whom laws have been written based on their teachings. Architecture has been erected to honor him. Some of the greatest works of art, the most sublime pieces of music, created for him. thousands of missionaries went across the world to make him known to the rest of creation. And let's be honest, armies have marched in his name, and even a couple of wars have been fought. All that from a 2,000-year-old first century Jewish peasant. Which really begs the question, who on earth was he? Who on earth is this baby boy who we are whose birth we are talking about here today? Who was he? And the Christian message has a deceptively simple answer to that question. This boy was God. And that word, God, is quite a loaded word. Culturally, despite the fact it's not very popular in some aspects, it is exceptionally well used. To the point where actually it's one of those words that begins to lose a little bit of meaning. It's so overused. When I talk about God, I'm talking about the creator of all things. I'm talking about the author of our very reality. The very source of life and being itself. And he's come to us as one of us, a little baby boy. The Gospel of John, one of my favourite of all books in the Bible, it talks about it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In church, we've got a very special word for that. We like our very long special words in church. Incarnation, to be made flesh. God, the creator of all things, is made flesh and comes to us as one of us, for us. We are the reason. Because the Christian message tells us that we were created by God. And that act wasn't an act of vindication on his part. It wasn't him showing off, or it wasn't him being bored and just wanting to do something with his time. It was an act of love. We were created to be loved. If anyone asks you what your purpose is, it is to be loved. That is why you were created. To be loved. But of course, love is a tricky thing because it demands freedom. And in order to love us and to give us the capacity to love him, God gave us free will. But of course, that carries with it an inherent risk. If we have the ability to choose God, we have the ability to choose to walk away from God. And that's exactly what happens. Many people choose to walk away from God. They choose other things, other gods, other idols, choose themselves, choose their own path. And God lets it happen because he loves us. Love is not something that can be forced, otherwise it isn't love. And so God lets us go. But that choice is not one without consequence. It has consequences for us as individuals, but also for us as a species. And this is something God is well aware of. And he is not prepared to abandon us to our fate. And so he keeps coming after us, reaching out, trying to communicate, to talk to us, to connect with us. And that is roughly what the Old Testament is in some respects, a record of God's repeated attempts to connect with his creation. And sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it wobbles and falls on its face. It's a little bit like a really big will-they-won't-they story. Do you know, like Ross and Rachel from Friends? You know, you get those kind of TV shows or those films. You've got two people who are kind of dancing around the fact they're meant to be together. You know, they're making excuses. They're getting into all sorts of ridiculous situations until eventually you're screaming at the television screen just for them to get on with it, get over themselves, because we've all got lives to lead. Just do it. But humanity is spectacularly bad at getting over itself. Really awful, which is why it's such a monumental effort to deal with things like poverty and climate change, because we just can't get over ourselves. And this is something God is well aware of. And so he comes up with a plan, the ultimate gesture. In the book of Philippians, it says God emptied himself, took the form of a slave. God comes to us in our, as one of us, in the flesh. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He doesn't meet us halfway. He comes all the way to us. And it's not a choice for him that is without consequence either, because it means leaving all of those things he is entitled to as God, all that glory, majesty, power. He gives it all up to come to us as one of us, to show us who he is, in the hope that we might be changed by it and that we can learn to be loved as we were meant to be loved. That, to me, is in essence the gospel. To me, that is in essence what we're celebrating at this time of year, the great coming of God's plan, the arrival of God amongst us. I'm going to finish with another confession. I am not in the business of telling you what Christmas should mean to you. I can only share with you what it means to me. And to me, Christmas is about remembering the greatest act of empathy that has ever taken place. God comes to us as one of us, walks in our shoes, shares the depth of our experience, everything that is to be human, the joy, the laughter, the pain, the brokenness, even death. And all of this for us, so we can learn to be loved as we're meant to be. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And we're going to have a musical interlude, so I'm going to invite you not to sing, but to take this time to sit, think, reflect. What does this all mean to me? What does this story mean for me? Maybe you're someone who is a little bit like me. You're a bit of a church veteran. And maybe Christmas is a time where you begin to feel a little bit jaded. You've heard this story so many times. Some of the meaning has been a little lost on you. Well, take this time to really think about that question again. What does this time mean for me? Maybe you're someone who hasn't got a lot of experience of church. Maybe this is your first time. I'll invite you to think about that question as well. What does this time mean for me? Is this just a celebration of a historical figure? The greatest historical figure there's ever been? Or is it something more?